I think we're ready.
Yeah, man.
Oh, wrong one.
Oh, I'm ready for that.
Not ready for sports yet. Let's back that up. Back that truck up.
Back
boop,
it up.
Boop, boop.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome D-Tech Smith and Steve Mix. You are now entering
the MegaCast.
What's up, Ted?
2021, Steve. Here we are.
We're back.
That's right.
Nothing has changed.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of a harsh reality after the holidays. Like, oh yeah, this stuff's still going on.
Right. Celebrities are still sadly leaving us. The world's in turmoil. People are going out of their minds. In fact, things have gotten crazier, it feels like, today.
Dude, I feel like I can't open up any app or nothing without seeing death.
Yeah, I got a little scared yesterday with the Dr. Dre one.
Dude, all right, so it's not just me.
Yeah.
I've been freaking out. I had a couple of friends lose somebody over the break. I'm just like, gracious, what is going on?
That's the thing. Like, I it's like, it's such a doom and gloom way to be, but I always try and bring that up when everyone's like, can 2020 just end already? And I'm like, I don't mean to be that guy because I'm not a negative guy. I try and think of everything with that glasses half full mentality and be positive. But I'm like, the older we get, the celebrities that we find that we love are also getting older. And that just means that we're going to experience more and more passings of the people that we are fans of as with each year. So, yeah. You know, I remember in 2015, like, I can't wait for this year to end. I'm like, well, 2016 is probably going to be worse. And then, you know what I mean? It's like, it just, they're getting older too. But I mean, Dr. Dre one was kind of crazy because he's only 55. Unfortunately, he's still alive.
Yeah, I think that's the other thing too. It kind of hit me like actually turning 40 and you're just like, oh, crap.
Yeah.
Like, people die now.
That's right. Happy birthday.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Thanks,
man. Yeah. So, turning, I obviously have a million things we're going to talk about if we can, but it's a MegaCast. We'll probably talk about two things. But turning 40, how you feeling?
You know what? It's pretty much the same. Yeah. Just, I don't know. You're just a little more aware of stuff. So, I was like, that's before we started this. Like, can't do next week. I got to get a physical.
Got to get the finger. No, I'm not sure about the finger, right?
I'm not sure.
That's, do you know what? Is it like your usual doctor?
No, new guy.
Oh, know how big his hands are?
What's that?
How big are his hands?
I don't know. Well, right, because the last couple of years, like, I had a doctor that retired, and then I've just been going to the clinic. And I was like, all right, you're 40. You need to get back into the routine of having a regular doctor. And
yeah, go every year.
Yeah, and do this and that.
The last time I went, though, it was one of those moments where it's like, oh my gosh, I am getting older. And it was like that, oh boy, because they're like, oh, you know, things, blah, 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 asking how I am. And then they're like, oh, I just had a kid. And they're like, do you have a will written out? I'm like, no. And she just looks at me like disappointed, goes, you should really get a will made. And I'm like, what do the blood results say? And she's like, no, you're fine. But it's just something that you should do as an adult with a kid and a wife, that you should make sure that these things are fully tightened up. God forbid anything happens. But it was like that moment where you're like, oh my gosh, like, I don't think like that. Like, you know, I got life insurance. I should probably get better life insurance. But, you know, you don't think like that because I just still, even though I'm in my 40s, I still feel young.
Right. I think that's the biggest thing about turning 40. Like, when you turn 30, you're like, all right, I'm 30 now, this and that. Turning 40, for some reason, it was like, oh, we are not invincible.
No. If you sneeze, you might pull something.
Right. And, a couple hangovers there were much, much worse.
Hangovers, that's why I don't drink much anymore. Because it's like that hangovers are just like, I mean, after our little slumber party, I was struggling for a couple days.
Yeah, that Monday, I did not get much done.
I was glad I didn't have to do anything on Monday. Yeah. But now with a baby, you know, and that crawls at a very fast rate, you can't just sit on the couch and just act like, you know, especially when I'm like, babe, can you watch tape nursing this hangover when I bailed on you for a night so I could go party with Ted?
Yeah. I mean, even when I, you know, talk to other friends that have kids, they're like, that's the big difference.
Yeah.
Not sleep in.
And they don't have any sympathy for you being hungover.
No, they have no idea. To them, it's just another day. They're just out there doing stuff.
I shared this on the air, and it's I can share the full story with you because I think you'll find that the I just, you know, sometimes you won't want to share something on the air because I don't think people will get this, the ridiculousness, and almost get, I don't know why. So I pulled my back, and on the air I said it was because I just raised my arms to impersonate my child.
All right.
But what happened was it was Tatum and I, Sid went off to go grocery shopping, and I'm sitting on the ground, but I could see the reflection of myself in the door on the glass.
Right.
And, you know, a little bit away. And I'm looking at her and I started checking myself out, and I flexed because I was like, let's just see how I look. and I pulled my back when I flexed. So I quickly stopped flexing. I'm like, oh boy. And it progressively got worse. And then Tatum wanted me to pick her up. And as I picked her up, it really went full shooting pain to the point where I couldn't get her fully up. So I had to set her back down. And now I'm struggling. Like, I'm breathing heavy because I'm having a hard time breathing because of the pain in the back. I can't walk. And I'm just like, I'm immobile. While I have a child that's just like found a box and is using that as a walker and is like going all around the house. And I'm like, the best way I can describe it is like, you remember the movie Terminator at the end when Arnold Schwarzenegger's been like pretty much destroyed except for his arms as a robot?
Yeah.
And he's just dragging himself, still trying to get Sarah Connor. That's me trying to catch up with baby Tatum. Fortunately, it eventually got better. But there was a point where I was like, I should just crawl to my phone. Sid's not going to answer the phone because she doesn't like pulling her phone out in a grocery store because she's afraid the germs are going to jump on it.
All right. That's fair.
Right. So she just keeps it in like either in the car or in her purse. So I was like, I'm going to have to call my mother-in-law and tell her, can she come over to watch Tatum because I can't physically follow her. That's going to be the most embarrassing phone call. And it was all started because I decided to flex in front of the glass window.
Dude, all right. So like right on top here, right? I don't know.
On your shoulder.
Yeah. I don't know if that's the something scrap. Scapula or whatever.
I'm no doctor.
But after work one day, the Seahawks are playing, right?
Uh-huh.
So I get all my stuff done and I was like, screw it. I'm just taking an Uber. I want to get home and watch this game. But like the guy didn't park all the way like on the side. So I got in and I just like reached out real quick to like close the door. And this shoulder has been hurting for like a month. And it's everybody's like, how'd you hurt your shoulder? I'm like, closing a door?
Yeah. Well, if we're talking, 2 days ago, I'm taking a shower and I'm scrubbing using my left arm. I got to imagine that what the issue is from maybe just working out a little too hard, like just doing too much on like arm exercises or something. I don't know.
Right.
Because as I'm scrubbing, I feel this shooting pain in my like forearm and it still hurts now. Like if I do something and it's just randomly, like I'll just get that sharp pain. I'm like, oh, this sucks. And I think it's just old age joint pain.
Yeah. Like I always thought it was a joke. And now it's like, I'm like, I need a new bed. And he's like, why? And I'm like, because it's, I don't know. There's something wrong with my shoulder and like my lower back. And it only hurts when I sleep in my bed. So I got to like move positions and stack pillows up on one side so I don't move too much. It's like, Jesus, when did this happen? Like it did obviously happen overnight turning 40. But for some reason, like the last couple of weeks I've been... just very aware of it.
You're hyper-focused on it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It's like I can't get it out of my head.
40, I always felt like that was the moment where I realized I got to get my S together, in a sense. Like, it was just like, nothing bad. It was just like, okay, like, I could still be me, but, you know, I also have to be responsible with certain things because it's like I'm getting older. Like, I should treat it as such. But I also, 40 for me, and this has been, honestly, the 40s have been my best decade. Like, I'm so happy in my 40s. Like, I'm mentally at my best. Physically, I feel like I'm at my best. I'm just... Everything seems to be, and obviously I have things I look fondly that I did in my 30s and 20s and so on and so forth, but I feel as a whole, this has been my favorite decade. And I think a lot of it also had to be with, I'm 40, I'm not getting any younger. Do the things you can do, so as long as you can do them, because one day you won't be able to.
Yeah.
I feel like you're more at peace with that, but also like that kind of lights a fire under your ass. You could go, because I don't want to be the 40. You remember when we were kids, someone who was 40 was old.
Oh, my God. Ancient.
Old.
Ancient.
They looked old. They acted old. I think about like my family members. They were walking around like as if they got hit by a bus all the time. I don't know what it is, but I feel like people like nowadays, I don't view, and I get it, we've gotten older, and maybe that's just like your way of looking at things is different because like now we are in our 40s. But I also remember people looking way older in their 40s than they do now.
Yeah, it's a tough line. I don't know what it is. But also like stuff's come a long way.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. Is it just because we're older now? It doesn't seem. But you're one person that is like reversing an age. Cobb and I talk about that all the time. Cobb's always shocked. Like, Steve's how old? Like, hey, he's a couple years older than I am.
Oh, there's some days where I don't feel like I feel like everything's just stopping. Everything is just like, oh, I'm dying here. Well, happy birthday, Ted.
Yeah,
welcome right. to the Team 40. It's a fun ride. I know you're going to love it.
We were talking before the cast about, like, people are very generous, right? People kept sending me stuff. My one buddy sent me, like, the full deal package from Omaha Steaks.
No way.
Steve, four steaks, four burgers, four chicken breasts, four sausages, four hot dogs, and a cheesecake.
Awesome.
Yeah, my freezer is stocked.
Oh, I love cheesecake too. Is it just straight up simple, basic cheesecake?
You know what? To be honest with you, at this point, when I got it, it was like the 29th or 30th. And I was just like, it came frozen. I'm just putting it in the freezer. And keep in mind, people have been very generous.
Right.
So it's like a cheesecake. But I've got birthday cakes sitting on my counter. I've got other sweet treats. Like my buddy's Brett, his wife made me a bunch of stuff.
I brought you a pint of Netflix and chilled, the Ben and Jerry's.
That thing is still sitting in there.
Have you not tried it?
No. That's what I'm saying. There's been so much stuff. An old intern of ours sent me that giant Snickers bar.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. The Nipiata had candy in it. The Nipiata, by the way, is a pinata that has little bottles of liquor in it.
Little nips.
Little nips, right.
Little nips.
A little nip.
Have a nip here. Have a nip there.
Right. So by the time I got the Omaha steak, I was like, you know what? When we get to like February and we get a nice day and I can grill, I'll be super pumped. But right now, it's just like, it seems like a lot.
Well, especially with how I think you're probably no different. I mean, I've been off when it comes to diet. It's just been like, I mean, I hit a point where I ate so much, I think on Christmas, and I was just like, I didn't think I was eating that much. I even told my wife, I'm like, you got to just take a plate away from me. You just have to. She's like, well, you're a grown man. You should know when to stop eating. I'm like, I don't. I have no control. If there's food to eat, I want to eat it. And if I like it, I want to eat more of it.
Yeah.
And when there's like five things being made and I like all of them, I'm going to eat them twice, maybe even three times.
Trust me, man. And then,
And then dessert comes.
Right. Are you a heartburn guy? Do you ever get heartburn?
No, I get I feel like everything is just full. You know what I mean? Like I get full, but like, you know what I mean? Like it's like painfully full in my stomach.
I had some brutal bouts with heartburn.
Really?
Oh man. Just because, like, there was crab dip, crab balls, like this and that. And then my buddy made homemade pickles, but some were super spicy.
Was that Barnes?
No.
I know he's on a pickle kick.
Yeah, that guy loves pickles.
Yeah.
No, Sean has started making homemade pickles.
Mm-hmm.
So some were extra spicy.
Nice.
And I was like, keep those away from me.
Yeah.
Well, then a few drinks later, I was like, screw it, I'm eating spicy pickles. And like, I know I can't eat spicy food. Number one, it gives me heartburn. Number two is I feel it the next day.
You know what's crazy?
I ate them.
Oh, yeah. Well, maybe if you get COVID, you'll enjoy spicy things.
You know, our one buddy just got over it.
Did he?
Yeah.
I don't know who.
He lost his taste.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, dude, that happened with one of Sid's family members. We were talking to him on the phone, and he was sharing, like, what happened. And we're like, well, so, like, he's like, all he lost was his, and this was, like, a while ago. Like, this was... like about 4 months ago, but we were like asking like, well, what exactly did it feel like? He's like, honestly, I was just like, couldn't work out. Cause it was like, I was just way too lethargic and I'd get nauseous. But honestly, the only thing that really affected me was my taste, my sense of taste and smell. I lost all that. And he's like, and since it's been gone, my taste has changed drastically. He's like, I can now eat spicy food. And I never used to eat spicy food before. And he's like, I actually enjoy spicy food now.
Oh, that's the thing.
That's so weird.
I like spicy food. I just can't deal with the next day.
Just crazy to like that something like that could just change everything. Like, I'm like, I wonder if it'll go back to the way it once was or if this is now just the new version of you, spicy food guy.
Right. So our buddy that lost his taste and smell, I was like, so what'd you eat over Christmas? And he's like, God, just thinking about spicy stuff, I got to burp. Seriously. Like
this is a very classy podcast.
I know. My stomach just started churning. We were talking about all that spicy stuff. Like, oh, God, I'm going to get heartburn just thinking about it. So he was like, we still made Christmas dinner. And he's like, it's weird because you could feel the texture of the food. He's like, you can kind of imagine. But he's like, you really couldn't taste it.
That's so. Yeah, because like, psychologically, you know what it should taste like.
Right.
Like, I don't have the best sense of smell. So it's like my taste as well. Like once it's in my mouth, out of context, but like, and I could like let it, if I know what I'm eating, I could quickly like make that adjustment. And then all of a sudden I start noticing the taste and everything's all right. Great. But my wife likes to play this fun game of like, she has something and she'll sneak up behind me if she thinks it's not, if it's bad, but if it's good, but like she'll make something like a little piece of brownie or like maybe a piece of candy and she'll come up from behind me and shove it in my mouth. And I'll be like, what is it? What did you just put in my mouth? She's like, well, just eat it. You'll find out. I'm like, I don't know what I'm eating. And then it takes a while, and then finally, I'm like, what is this? And she's like, it's an M&M. I'm like, oh, delicious.
I'm like, can you tell me ahead of time so I can mentally prepare for what's about to go in my body?
Right, what is that?
What did you just put in my mouth, babe?
New rule. We don't put stuff in people's mouths.
That's what I tell her. I'm like, hey, can you at least tell me before you shove it in my mouth?
Plain or peanut? Peanut butter. Crispy.
Peanut butter. It's the only way to go.
The peanut butter M&Ms?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe the ones, I like the ones with the little pretzel in them.
Those were the best.
Those are really good. But I like the ones with the little ones with the pretzel in them, and then the peanut butter one together, like a little trail mixy kind of thing.
Nice.
This podcast is all
over.
Yeah,
we're getting off right.
But while we're talking about that, at Whole Foods, next time I go, I'll have to buy you a bag because it's the great. They're like, you know, like those stuffed pretzel balls that usually they put peanut butter in.
Yeah.
So the ones we grabbed as like a little snack on the way home, just kind of like something to nosh on as we're driving home. But there were a bag of these, and instead of peanut butter, they had almond butter. But it was maple almond butter.
In.
Bro, it was like little hardened pancakes being popped into your mouth with this amazing maple flavor. It was the greatest thing. I don't know what the brand was called, but if you just go to Whole Foods, I'm sure you'll see them. They're in the section with the pretzels, and they got like, you know, the peanut butter pretzel ones. But then they got this almond maple butter pretzel that was one of the greatest snacks I've ever had, to the point where I ate the entire bag. My wife's like, where is that? She looked down, she goes, did you just eat the whole bag? I'm like, yeah. She's like, that's like six servings. I'm like, yeah.
Well, I shouldn't have made them so delicious.
I tell you to take these things away from me, babe. It's your fault.
I'm going to buy some this weekend.
See if you go. I highly recommend them.
TED Talks, starring B-Tech Smith.
So what's the saying every January 1st?
New year, new me.
Correct.
Oh!
Mm-hmm. So what I was going to tell people is, number one, like, it's a long year. I know I've been guilty of it. A lot of people have, of like, January 1st, like, this starts, that starts, yada, yada, yada.
Right.
Now.
Going to the gym. Well, not this year, but, you know.
Right. Like, I think those ideas are great, and I think you should follow them. But I read once, and I might have said this last year or the year before, and it was just like, make a resolution for every month, or just, you know, like, you have a year. So just kind of stick with it, right? Mm-hmm. And some of these challenges seem massive, right? So whether it's losing weight, or maybe you're somebody like me, it's got to keep the house a little bit cleaner, or this or that.
Props to you. You have.
Right.
Your bathroom was actually very clean this last time I spent the night.
Yeah.
It was. The toilet looked like I thought you bought a brand new toilet for the weekend. I was like, what the hell? So good on you.
But I was just going to tell everybody, just remember, whatever the challenge is, every great challenge just starts with the first step.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, like this, well, again, gyms aren't open, but if they were, like, you don't got to go crazy and hit the gym 5 days a week.
Right. You're not going to get swole in 1 week.
Right. And you just, it's unsustainable.
Yeah.
Right. So maybe it's just starting with, you know, 2 days a week, or hell, 1 day a week, whatever you're doing, you know what I mean? And just do the little things.
Find the things that actually you enjoy there too. That helped me.
Yeah.
It's like, for a while, I was trying to do the things like you're supposed to do, and I was like not comfortable doing some of them. They were awkward. Physically, I didn't feel right doing them. Then I was like, oh, well, this chest exercise I like. I'll just stick with that for a while until I find another one. But you know what I mean? Like, that helps out a lot. Like, don't go there to be miserable. Find the things you enjoy there. That way you look forward to going.
Yeah. And what I would say, right. And the other thing too is, like, I would tell people, if you haven't been lifting in a while, don't be afraid of the small weights. Don't go in there and try to have bad form and start throwing stuff around.
You know, I noticed that the more I've gone to the gym, and also, like, I watch a lot of, like, these certain, like, fitness guys, our buddy Jay Ferrugia, who we know through Becky Lynch, which is, like, a very random name drop to be, like, we know him through one of the most popular wrestlers of all time, but he's always all about, like, lower weights help, especially if you're new or you're older, like,
yeah,
well, us 40-somethings, you do the lower weights, but you just do more reps of them. It's less strain on your joints. Because, like, you want to go in there, you want to be like, I got, like, you know, 100 pounds of this and that. But, like, you see some guys that are really swole, and they're, like, working, like, a 20-pound barbell or dumbbell. And I'm like, it seems like nothing. But, like, I'm like, they're probably doing so many of them. But I'm not paying attention to that part. And they don't care. They're not, like, trying to impress anybody.
No.
Like, and that's, like, and you look at them, and it's, like, they're clearly doing something right.
Yeah, and most of those giant dudes are, you know what I mean, or the super fit, like, they didn't get there in a month or two because they made a resolution.
No. In the wrestling world, when I first started wrestling, one of the big sayings I'd hear countless times, and then finally I started, and I think it applies to anything, it's say progress, not perfection. And
yeah.
It's like, you know, you're not going to, like, day one be able to do a perfect back body drop. But if you do it from time, like, as you do it, if it keeps getting better, that's a success right there. And then eventually it's going to be better than what you originally started with. But sometimes you get so discouraged, like, I want to do it perfect right off the get-go. And it's like, well, that's not just how things work. Some people can, and that's frustrating when you see that, when someone's like naturally gifted, but not everyone's like that.
No. I mean, watch any sport, right? There's a good chance they started as children.
Yes. If they didn't, that's weird.
Like, right. I was going to say, offensive linemen get away with it. Sometimes they're too big to play as kids.
Yeah.
But so they'll start in high school. But other than that, it's like, right, like they've been doing this for years.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, take some time.
You got time.
What else do you got these days?
Right. I was like,
you got nothing else to worry about. Stuck at home.
Right.
Telling Ted even beforehand, I'm like, the winter is going to be more fresh. Because, like, man, it feels like it's been raining way more. I'm like, and I think I'm more aware of it because summer, COVID summer was tolerable because we were able to go for walks.
Yeah, you can get outside and do stuff.
Right. We always hit like certain trails or certain like places to go, and we're able to stay away from other people, but still be outside and enjoy it. Now it's like, well, we can't take Lulu for a walk, and we don't want to leave, you know, even if it's like not raining, the ground is completely wet. So it's not, you know, it gets annoying to bring a dog out because then you have to give him a bath every single time. Yeah, it's just crazy.
Yeah. Or the other thing, too, is like some of the outdoor seating. Like, yeah, well, it's wet.
Yeah, we experienced that on our anniversary. So anniversary every year at our wedding, which this was our 10-year anniversary. So at our wedding, we had it at the Columbia Winery, and it was catered by Daniel's Broiler. We weren't trying to be all highfalutin because it's a pretty expensive place. But that was the deal. Like, if you want to use our venue, you got to use our vendor. I think the funny part was, as soon as our wedding ended, they stopped doing it with them, and then you could just use whoever.
Oh, no kidding.
But in retrospect, it was a little bit more money than probably we wanted to spend, but it was an awesome spread at our dinner, and it was delicious, yeah. And it was a great. So now what has become our tradition is every year we go to Daniel's Broiler for our anniversary.
Nice.
And the nice thing is Daniel's is one of those places, yeah, it's a steakhouse, but they also do a vegan menu. Like, they straight up have like four items. Like, they'll give you a menu that's just for vegan stuff, like a tomato, like a pasta stuff, raviolis, some stuff with like Impossible Burgers. But like, they do it up pretty nice.
All right.
So we go every year, but this year is like, oh crap, what are we going to do? Like, it's everything's shut down. But we went online and found out that the Daniel's on Leschi, which we've never been to, they do outdoor seating because they have an outdoor patio.
All right.
So like, great, set up our reservations. We went there on the 18th, get there, and I thought for sure it's going to be a pain in the ass. It's going to be a bunch of people. No one's there. It's like one other couple. And we get in there, and it's like you're in this like weird little tent setup, you know, how they're doing it these days with the heat lamp right over you. So like, it's still cold to where you need to wear a jacket, but I didn't need a beanie because otherwise my head was burning. You know what I mean?
Right.
But it started dumping while we were there. And of course, where I was sitting was like a little crack in the thing. So it just keeps falling on me. I'm like trying to eat my dinner and I'm getting wet, but I'm glad that at least my wife's not the one dealing with it. I tried to tell her to, but she was like, no, I'm the wife. You should be respectful. And I'm like, whatever. I gave you a kid. You should at least get wet for me. No.
Dude, I had a buddy that was like, hey, I'll take you out for a beer. He's like, I found a place in your neighborhood that has an outdoor deck.
Mm-hmm.
But they have a front and a back. So the back where the cover is and the heaters, it's like there's only so many spots. So it's very hard to get back there. So he's like, I'm on the front deck. I was like, cool. And I mean, we're already in gloves and a hat because it was freezing. And then I sit down and my entire butt is wet. So, I mean, we had like two or three beers and I was like, hey, man, I hate to tell you this, but like I am miserable. Like,
this sucks.
I can't do this.
No.
Like, we can go sit undercover on my deck or patio. But I'm like this is not fun.
Yeah, if there's not a heat lamp, I'm not going there.
Yeah, right?
Absolutely not. Like, I see there's a place in Fremont. I drove by it and they have like the fire. They're like the fire pits right at the table.
Yeah.
Those are kind of cool.
That is.
Because then it feels like you're camping.
Yeah.
They're like, hey, for an appetizer, can I get a graham cracker, some marshmallows, and chocolate?
Hershey's.
Yes. Well, no other way. All right. Why don't we take a break?
All right.
Come back. We'll find out what's going on in your head with the world of sports. I have a feeling you're going to want to talk about something. And I'm very excited to talk about that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I also did something that I haven't done in a very long time. And I want to find out. It involves, I had to pee in a bottle.
All right.
And I don't remember the last time I've ever had to pee in a bottle. It's been forever. Maybe college. I'm not even sure. But I had to do that.
All right. These things happen.
In broad daylight.
All right.
In a parking lot. Well, maybe we'll get to that. I don't know. If not, that's all you get.
when the MegaCast returns.
New year. Sign two jackasses. The MegaCast will be back.
Putting on weight during quarantine? Try Slim Quick. No diets, no exercise. We just send you oversized objects for your home, so on Zoom, you look smaller by comparison.
I gained a ton of weight, but now I just sit on the oversized couch they sent me, and I look as small as I did in college. Thanks, Slim Quick. Hi.
Yeah, forget Noom, because you'll look great when you Zoom.
After eating fast food for months, I gained 50 pounds. But thanks to Slim Quick sending me this fake massive fireplace, now I appear smaller in my room. I'm back in the drive-thru lane. Thanks, Slim Quick.
Call today for your oversized items and clothes that are 10 sizes too big for you. Slim Quick. Eat what you want and use forced perspective photography to look thinner. Slim Quick. Back of the neck fat cincher sold separately.
My New Year's resolution is to not surround myself with idiots. Well, I'm still here. So chalk that up to a broken resolution. The MegaCast is back.
Oh, she's still a bitch.
Yep. Yeah. Some things never change.
Never.
Spanning the globe to bring you the constant variety of sport, the thrill of victory, and the agony of defeat. This is
the Ted Smith's
Wide World of Sports.
Brought to you by
Smith Family Popcorn. Good people, great popcorn.
Well, Steve, I could sit here and tell you that the Seahawks made the playoffs.
Yes.
There was some crazy NFL action.
Yes.
The college football playoffs kind of sucked.
Yes. The Browns might not even have a team to play.
That is unbelievable.
What are the odds?
They get in the playoffs, and now COVID, they're not going to have anybody to play.
They have a coach.
Right. You see Ohio State's getting hit with that, too.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. But the main thing is that my buddy Brett, over the course of the holidays, we jump on Zoom and watch sports. We're both big sports nerds. So after a while, like, you know, sometimes it's 8 o'clock at night, like, oh man, there's nothing on. And he was like, what do you know about the World Junior Championship in hockey?
Yes.
I was like, I know nothing. Like, tell me more. And he's like, every year these world championships happen between like Christmas and New Year's. And if you're a hockey person, it's like what you watch around the holidays.
Yeah.
Right. So I had never been into
it. Goosebumps. You're just talking about it.
Right. I start getting into it. And then Tuesday night. Right. Was that? Yeah, it was last night.
Yeah. Last night was the championships.
Right. So the USA ends up rolling through. They Canada didn't. I don't think Canada lost a game. Right. But
dude, I think in this course of the entire series, they outscored the other teams like 40 goals to like 5 or something. I mean, I might be exaggerating, but it was a ridiculous amount. Like, they were just spanking every team. Like, and their goalie was barely giving up any goals. They were never in a situation where they were behind. Like, they were just crushing teams.
Right. Crushing them left and right. So the one year I start watching it, what do you know? The boys won one. The USA won the World Juniors.
They were massive underdogs. They went into it, everyone's like, Canada's going to kill them. Like, it's just, and like the captain for the US team, USA, is like, you know, their goalie hasn't really been challenged regular strength. Like, we're going to challenge him. And he was right.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, too. Like, they just kind of got by Finland, right?
Yep.
Right. At last second. And there were some exciting matches that I watched. Like, you know, and I realize now that it's like, all right, it's always going to be kind of like Finland, USA, Canada, Russia.
Yep. Yep.
Sometimes the Czechs.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. The Swedes, which for some reason, I don't like the Swedes now. I don't really have any reason other than just like he was explaining
a bunch of pompous looking kids.
Well, he was explaining what their jersey is. And I was like, that seems kind of arrogant.
And the World Juniors, for those that don't understand, like, so think of like the T-Birds and the Tips, like our junior hockey team players, like they're like anywhere from like 15 to 20-ish, you know.
Right. So it's 19 and under?
Yeah. Right? Yeah. All that's right. What it is. And so it's like all these up and coming future NHLers, but they're all teenagers and they just play for their country. But it's like such a great thing. Like every year you got a new crew, and last year they didn't do too well, Team USA. So this was like a big year for them to come back and be better, and they win the gold medal.
Right. And the other thing, I was talking about this on the men's room that I found kind of exciting, the Olympics, right? Like, you go through the whole tournament and everything, you win the gold medal, they play your national anthem.
Right.
But what I like about the World Juniors is after every single game, you got to sit there and listen to the other team's national anthem.
Right.
Like, I know hockey has these old rules about being respectful and stuff, but like, I don't know. Whenever you watch another team, they just got to stand there. I'm like, oh, that sucks.
And especially you're dealing with like these young kids. Like, this is like the first taste of high stakes. You know what I mean? Yeah. Yeah, they play juniors and like there's a lot of pressure, but now you're playing for your country.
Yeah.
And then you lose and you're just devastated, especially if you're Team Canada and you're just spanking every team. And I'm sure they didn't take Team USA lightly. I mean, it's not like Team USA sucks, but you know, you expect that you're going to play better than you did. And granted, the goalie for Team USA played fantastic.
Yeah, he was out of his mind.
I did love this after the game. They're in the locker room. They're getting sprayed with water because they're not allowed to drink beer.
Right.
Which I thought was kind of funny. But then they start this chant. I don't know if you saw this part.
Don't you cry! Oh, mama, don't you cry! USA Hockey is do or die! USA Hockey is do or die!
So you're like, all right, this is kind of cool, but then it kind of starts getting like, are you making this up as you go along?
Hockey stick in my hand!
Take a hockey stick in my hand!
Go off to a foreign land!
Go off to a foreign land!
I mean, Canada is the foreign land that they were in.
Come hey, it's fun. Said I'd be a star!
Come said I'd be a star!
Then you say I do go very far!
You say I do go very far! Yeah!
Yeah! Yeah! Yeah! Yeah! You always get that one
guy.
Effing rights, boys!
Like, what is this chant? I do it kind of like, too, like, they didn't do it last night. They already got rid of the sticks.
Yeah.
But I do like how they stand there for the national anthem, and at the end of it, they all just kind of slap their stick at once.
Oh, that is cool. Yeah. Yes, 100% cool. And I watching the game, I don't know about you, but I was craving Chipotle. Because they have the Chipotle sticker on their helmet. Right. The sponsor. I'm like, oh, what are you doing to me? I'm hungry now.
Right. So it was kind of weird as I was taping the podcast on Zoom as that game was going on.
Right.
So I just had it in the background. I was like, I'm not going to go crazy. And then I saw they won, and I was just like, I'm going to pause this. Just because like, I want to see them get their medals and stuff.
Right. It's such a great moment. I mean, it's just so emotional. And it's like anytime you see someone playing for their country, there's something really cool about that. And a lot of these kids have futures that are very bright, whether I think Anaheim, one of the kids, he's like a prospect for Anaheim. Another one was a prospect for the Kings that did really well. It was cool to see. But did you see them take the team picture at the end?
Right? No.
Oh, so have you not heard about the drama?
No.
Oh my gosh, people are really pissed off at these kids because when they took the team picture, someone slid out what looked like a garbage can to put in with them in the team picture.
All right.
And on the garbage can, it had the Team Canada logo, like the maple leaf kind of logo that says Team Canada on it.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
So people are like, these classless USA POS players taking a picture alluding to the Canada team is being trash. You know what I mean? Because the logo's on a trash can. Turns out that's not it at all. But that's what people jump to the conclusion. So now they're getting like beat up by people that didn't bother.
What was it for?
So, okay, do you have a minute?
Yeah.
Because this is ridiculous. So apparently it's a barrel that they had. It wasn't a trash can, but it all looks like a trash can. It's this blue barrel-like sphere, you know, thing. So then after the game, the coaches asked about it. And apparently this barrel was like a source of motivation for them for each game. I can't do it justice to explain to you what the barrel's significance means, but I have the audio of the coach explaining it.
All right.
At any point, tell me to pause it, because it almost sounds like he's making up this story as he goes along.
All right.
All right.
To be completely honest, it's a story that when I was an assistant coach in 2007, that Ron Ralston brought to our team about crossing the heart of the Sahara Desert, you know, crossing a terrain that's 500 miles long that over 1,300 people had perished.
All right. At this point, I'm like, what is this guy even talking about?
Right. You're a hockey team. What are you doing in the desert?
Right. There's no ice in the desert.
And the only way that they could figure to cross the Sahara, this part of the Sahara Desert, was to put barrels out. And so that when you got to one barrel, the only thing you could see was the next barrel on the horizon. I shared the story with the guys before the tournament.
Yeah, it's an interesting, but where did you get this story?
I don't know, but I'm tracking with them now.
Okay.
Barrel to barrel.
And let them know that we're not going to talk about the gold medal. All we're talking about is going one barrel at a time. You know, it was just a great...
this is why you're Coach Smet.
Right, I'm like, as soon as he said that, I was like, oh, I see what he's saying.
I mean, this is like, if you knew this story, you would have shared it with us in Spokane.
Right.
You know, it was just a great way to get through this tough tournament, to just go one barrel at a time, stay in the process, and not get ahead of ourselves. Just focus on the next barrel. So we had a barrel in the locker room, and on the barrel was the next team we were playing. And that's all we wanted the guys to focus on is, all right, this is the next barrel. This is how we cross the desert. You know, we just get to the next barrel. We get to the next barrel. And
it's a great story, but it's like, how did you sell this to a bunch of 17-year-olds?
Oh, I could sell that to them.
Yeah.
I like it.
All right.
I mean, I was coaching, 13-year-old baseball players. And I gave a whole speech of how, like you think, I was talking about Olympians. I go, the guy doesn't look at the finish line, right? He runs hurdles. Mm-hmm. But the most important thing is to get over that first hurdle. The next important thing is the next hurdle.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we want to win the race, but we can only go hurdle by hurdle.
Look at you. It's right. This is like the barrel story.
Right, that's what I'm saying. And that made no sense to baseball players. Like, Coach, you're playing baseball.
Didn't live in the past.
Yeah, right? There are no hurdles.
And we didn't live in the future. We stayed in the present.
Yeah.
We took a selfie in the locker room around the barrel after every win. And the boys loved it. And they couldn't wait for the selfies. So we have, you know, every one of our wins, we have our team around the barrel in the locker room. They wanted to get the barrel on the ice. No disrespect to anyone, especially Canada, who played a great game today and obviously had a great team. It's not disrespectful to them. It's just, I'm sure every team had something in the tournament that they rallied around, and ours was the barrel.
I just love that everyone just assumed, though, they were saying that Canada's trash and we're going to take a picture of what we think is trash in our championship picture.
Yeah, and I just don't see that with the hockey guy, like, especially that age.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? Like,
that's just people jumping to conclusions.
Yeah.
Like, even when I first saw the picture and I first saw the controversy, I didn't know anything about the barrel story. So I'm like, wow. I was like, that doesn't seem... I don't see a team doing that. I don't see the coaches letting the team do that. Like, this isn't like, you know, some weird like backyard or playground team of just kids with no sense of structure. You know what I mean? And respect.
Yeah. I mean, even like if you're talking professional sports or whatever and it's a big rivalry, like, all right, I can fathom that. But like, yeah, it's junior hockey.
Right.
Like, I feel like if they had done that just to make a thing about Canada being trash, that coach would have tore him a new one.
These kids are probably teammates with some of those kids on Team Canada.
Right.
So, I mean, these are their friends or their peers. It's not like as if like they hate these guys dead. They just want to beat them, you know, because they're on a team. Like, even like that's like the MVP of which was that Zegras guy, Trevor Zegras, and he was asked afterwards about the barrels.
Listen, we saw during your celebration, it was a barrel, a can, I don't know what it was, Hockey Canada logo brought out onto the ice for the picture. What was the meaning of that?
So we pretty much had a barrel for each team we were playing, and each game we just wanted to get to the next barrel. And then today was our last barrel, and we threw the Canada sign up there, brought it on the ice, and took our picture. So that was kind of our thing this tournament.
There you go.
Oh, I see. That makes even more sense.
Yeah.
They would just slap the logo. Like, so that's the next barrel.
Yeah, it would have been a Finland picture during that series.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, go Canada. I mean, go USA.
Oh, you almost got two hockey on us.
I did.
I'll tell you what, man. Canadians love their hockey.
Oh, gosh.
I saw some pictures of people, like, outside in the snow, and they had fire pits going, and, like... It's just amazing.
I love some of my Canadian friends on social media, seeing them like that. Their kids are now able to skate, and they're showing pictures of their backyard. They're turning their backyard into like an outdoor rink.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, damn, that seems like a lot of work.
Yeah, I mean, look, I am far from the biggest hockey aficionado, but like I will be watching that tournament for years to come.
It's super fun. It's like there's so much passion. It's like, yeah, these kids are not on the same level as an NHL player, but in a sense, they play harder. Because they're okay, maybe not harder, but that's not. But you know, they're playing because they're hoping that they will one day become an NHLer, and this is like them on the big world spotlight. Like everybody's watching this that's involved with hockey. So if you want to impress a general manager or a coach or whoever in the NHL, this is the time to do it. Lots of players have like gone on with a lot of like a lot of hoopla behind them and a lot of, you know, like excitement about them because of how well they played in the World Junior Championships.
Sure. And now I found out I have the NHL Network.
Oh, you didn't know you had that?
No.
Well, I didn't know I had the Red Zone Network, too, until I hung out with you. So I guess it's only fair. I thought I had to pay for that. I mean, it was just part of my deal.
Yeah. I was like, huh, look at this. NHL Network.
NHL Network's great. I mean, it's just...
old hockey games, and then every once in a while they just have people doing, like, you know, Sports Center, but hockey style.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, it got me into the hockey. I was bugging. I was like, Steve, you won't believe this. It was like an 8:30 game or something rain. I was like, watching the juniors.
Oh, dude, it brought a big smile on my face because I was watching them too when you sent that. I was just like, awesome. Like, it's nice to know that, you know, we can't hang out all the time. But sometimes it's fun to know, like, my friends are doing the exact same thing I am, sitting on my couch watching hockey.
Right. And that was the other thing, too. Like, also, because it was the break, I was like, oh, he's actually up probably watching this at 9 o'clock.
Oh, absolutely. So he's asleep.
Yeah, I feel like most nights you'd probably be preparing for bed or in bed.
Oh, I'd be definitely in bed. But because of the break, it's like Sid falls asleep around 8-ish. It's usually I put on wrestling, but I was like, oh, there's hockey on. I can actually do that. Though we already did have the talk. I'm like, you know, just to let you know. This little not having hockey on all the time ends once the Kraken season starts. Like, this house is going to have Kraken games on all the time. She's like, I figured as much. I was like, I could have a man room, but you don't want me to have my own little man cave. She's like, no. I said that, why would you want to go upstairs to go watch television on your own when you can watch it with me? I'm down to watch it. I'm like, great. Just remember that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So speaking of the wife, while we were off, we had to go do our one-year baby doctor visit.
All right.
So usually when we go, we both go in there. But because of the world that we're in, like, you know, changed since the last time we've gone to the doctors. And so we walk in, we're sorry, only one of you guys can come in. Only one parent per child.
All right.
And I'm like, I get that. I agree with that. I understand what's going on. But when you have a one-year-old, it's kind of hard to, like, deal with paying, deal with the, you know, all this stuff with only one set of hands. You know what I mean? Like, it's kind of nice if you could have, like, dad holding the child while mom is taking care of, like, all the stuff with the receptionist. So, but I was like, all right, no, I'm not going to fight you about this. I'm not going to be like, oh, no, free breather for life and take off my mask and yell at you. But, so I go back to the car. But when we got there, I was fully anticipating going in and using their bathroom.
Ooh.
And so now I'm sitting in the car, and this is like the 1 year is like the shots. And if you're a parent, you know what I'm talking about. Like, this is when you get like four of like the big shots that your kid gets in certain vaccines and things along those lines. It's a lot longer of an appointment. It's also a really crappy appointment for the kid because these are the ones, like, it's not just one and done. Like, it's after a while, like, the baby starts crying a lot. You know, it's a lot to deal with. But now I'm sitting in the car just waiting. And, you know, I'm trying to, like, think of other things. And I finally hit that point, like, I'm seriously, legit gonna have to pee my pants.
All right.
And then I realize I have a bottle in the car. So I get in the back seat and I'm like, I gotta just do it. I'm like, I don't know if anyone can see me. I'm hoping my tinted windows are good enough. Like, I'm trying to, like, see, like, how would this look? I'm trying to be sly about it. Do what I have to do. Just as I finish, a car pulls up right next to my car, a family. Of course. And I'm like, what am I doing? I'm going to be like a registered sex offender. Cause, like, you know, like, that could get you in a lot of trouble. If you're exposed
in a parking lot.
Right. But, like, I'm trying to cover myself. Luckily, like, I just finished, everything was done right when that happened, screwed up the bottle, put it in. I was like, now what do I do with the damn bottle?
A Gatorade?
No, it was like one of the big, smart water ones.
Oh yeah.
And dude, I mean, I don't know. When's the last time you had to pee in a bottle?
It's been years.
Right. I was, like, very worried about my aim.
Yeah, and it's just weird. Yeah. It's hard to explain. That is not a normal thing.
It's not easy just to go, like, while in a sitting position, just, like...
No.
Because it's, like, and I'm not wearing pants with a zipper. I'm wearing my joggers. So I have to, like, pull down. Not, like, all, like, just, like, hold them down so I could flop it out.
I mean, I think the last time I did it was probably at a tailgate and probably got pee on myself.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm proud to say, no spillage.
Excellent work.
And then threw it in the back until I was able to dispose. Never told my wife. She shows up and she's like, I got to go use the bathroom. You want to go to the coffee stand, Anthem Coffee, right around the corner? We could go get a coffee and also use their bathroom. I'm like, why didn't I just go get a coffee? And why did I put myself through this? I knew that the coffee place was there. I didn't even think of it.
I wouldn't have thought about it either.
I was just so stressed. So I was like, I wonder if anyone else has dealt with this. You type in Reddit, pee in bottle, and there's full threads about people and the ridiculous reasons why they had to pee in a bottle.
That's a good one, though.
It says, people have peed in a bottle. Why? And I'll give you a couple. I know we got to run. One person says, to see if I could. I'm a woman. I couldn't. It was a mess.
Ooh.
Another one, I think we could agree with this. Music festivals.
Yep.
Hard to convince yourself to walk half a mile when it's raining and you're under the influence of some kind of concoction. Better to pee in a bottle and pour it out in the morning. Another person said, I want to freeze it and save it for later.
I don't know what that means.
Damn it, Reddit.
A lot of people said because of traffic. And my favorite, my roommate was in the bathroom for one of his 30-minute dumps, and I had to go.
Yeah, the main one I hear is traffic.
Traffic. Oh, dude, like 90% of the ones on Reddit were traffic, didn't think I could make it. I was like, okay, that does make sense.
Traffic or, yeah, tailgates.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I've definitely been tailgating on the side of like a busy street where we never went into the game. But like, I don't know, if the lot didn't have porta potties or something, but it was like, I can't just pee on the side of this like highway.
Right.
Because there's a lot of people that haven't gone into this game. And then you just sit in a car, right? Like, oh, God, that's awful.
It's the stress of, like, can I get it done before anyone notices?
Yeah.
Do I have enough space in this bottle? Like, right. That got nerve-wracking because I was like, what happens if, I don't know if I'm going to... Luckily, I was fine. But, another place, behind the curtain in the world of wrestling, peeing in bottles is very popular. Because most locker rooms, they're not really locker rooms. They're makeshift locker rooms, and there's no bathroom.
Yeah.
So... usually, every wrestler I know, and I didn't notice until I wrestled, like even if you've peed six times before your match, the minute you're about to go out there, leading up to it, you have to pee so bad because of nerves.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I got the pees, I got to go. And some guys just pee in bottles to the point where usually in the pre-show meetings, people are like, hey, if you're going to pee in a bottle, do not leave it in the locker room. Do not throw it away in the garbage. Take it with you, please. Like, can you show some respect? I remember one time back in the 3-2-1 battle days, there was a fly-in, like a big name wrestler that came out that actually wrestles for like New Japan now. He's like a big name.
All right.
And he peed. I was in the spot where he was, and I didn't watch him pee in the bottle, but I saw him pee in the bottle. You know, he was in the same area, and he set it on the counter. And I think his intention was to take it with him, but he forgot. And literally for months, that bottle just sat there on this counter in the back room. And I was just like, that's hilarious.
Because everybody knew what it was.
Well, yeah, no one's touching it. And it was just there. And I think everyone just expected, well, eventually the person who did it is going to take it. But that person doesn't live here. And I'm like, that's so funny. It's like this weird,
just understanding. Like, yeah, people pee in bottles back here.
And it's like this big name wrestling celebrity guy just marked his territory for months.
Yeah. That's unbelievable. Nobody moved it.
I just always love that. Any locker room I've been in, if there's no bathroom in the back, that somebody makes it a point to be like, if you got to pee in a bottle, can you please take it with you?
Yeah. I always had to poop before sports.
That too. The nerves are the worst.
Yeah.
Hockey, I always have to go poop before I play hockey.
Yeah. That's what I was saying.
Even with beer league.
Yeah. I don't know. Right. It's, you shouldn't have to, but even before pub league, I'd always make sure let's empty the tank. It's a Sunday morning. Let's make sure we are on empty before we show up to play soccer.
And whenever I go, it's like, I got to first find what locker room we're dressing in, but then I have to find another bathroom because I'm not pooping in the locker room that we're in.
Yeah. Because everybody could see you.
And also can smell it.
Yeah.
Like then now we've got just the stench of Steve while we're all trying to get ready for the game. All right, I guess we'll leave on that note.
Yeah.
Go USA.
Right. Glad everybody's back.
Glad to see you again.
Yeah, man.
Had a great time. I'm glad that I got to expose you to the sweet sounds of the Bee Gees also. Well, we didn't get a chance to talk about that, but I blew Ted's mind.
Also, your influence with that damn Pink Whitney. Everybody's drinking it now.
Dude, we crushed that bottle.
Yeah, everybody I know is drinking it.
It's so good.
Yeah.
I've gotten listeners messaging me like, hey, what do you mix it with? I'm like, honestly, just keep it cold and you can do it as a shot or you can mix it with ice or just plain soda water.
As I say, plain soda water works good.
Pink Whitney's available at Target and other liquor stores and it's New Amsterdam vodka and it's phenomenal.
Yeah, stuff is great. I mean, I got family members drinking it now, friends. It's like a thing. People are like, dude, look what I got. That and the Screwball.
Right.
You can't go wrong with either of those.
And I showed up with both of those for our quote-unquote slumber party. It's so great.
The end of that Screwball is still sitting there on my counter.
It's like, finish me. Right. But while we were wasted, I'm like, Ted, somehow we got on the topic of the Bee Gees. I'm like, you realize that they were not just a disco band. You're like, no. And I played you some of their early pre-Saturday Night Fever music. And you're just like, what the? This is not the Bee Gees. This is not the Bee Gees.
I know. Yeah, I had no idea.
Yeah, the YouTube, I started a joke by the Bee Gees, and you're going to be blown away that that's the Bee Gees. We'll leave you with that, and then we'll be back not next week, but the week after.
Yeah, that's right.
Follow us on Twitter at The Megacast.
Do it, folks.
Do it.
Do it.
Otherwise, that's the next barrel. And then we'll be back for another barrel.
Yeah, man.
All right, this has been fun.
See ya.
Goodbye.